Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk Women's Roundtable, where we look at issues affecting women. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And today on Live Talk, we're looking at women empowerment programs in Zimbabwe aimed at lifting up women and young girls so that they are self-reliant. But before we dive deep into our main topic, let's take a look at what is happening in the Middle East. Jewish and Islamic laws both say dead bodies must be treated with respect and mandates that bodies be buried as soon as possible. Observing these precepts with thousands of dead people in a war zone is proving to be very difficult, as Linda Gladstein reports for VOA from Tel Aviv.
There are so many bodies in Israel and in the Gaza Strip. It started with a Hamas assault on dozens of communities in southern Israel that killed more than 1,400 Israelis, most of them civilians. Now, after more than 2 weeks of heavy Israeli airstrikes targeting Hamas, Palestinian health officials say more than 6,400 people have been killed in the Gaza Strip, including thousands of women and children. At the Israel National Forensics Institute in Tel Aviv, Director Chen Kugel says the Hamas attack was unprecedented.
You hardly see this kind of atrocities that you see here. It's, I'm 31 years in forensic pathology, and I never see anything, not in this magnitude, and not in this cruelty.
Almost 1,000 bodies are still in cold storage containers at an army base. Of those, almost 300 have still not been identified. Many bodies were completely burned and can be only identified with DNA, if at all.
We see people that only, I don't know, 1 kilogram of the body is left, and that's it, because they were totally burned. And some of them are just pieces.
The difficult task of identification is especially urgent because Jewish tradition requires a rapid burial. Even before the funeral, the Jewish prayer for the dead, Kaddish, is recited over bodies collected by Zaka, the Israeli religious organization which retrieves human remains for Jewish burial. For the soldiers who have been killed, there is an Israeli army unit tasked with handling bodies and preparing burials according to the principles of respect for the dead.
There always needs to be someone with the corpse. They always need to make sure that the corpse is lying on its back, completely straight, not in any kind of disrespectful position, completely covered. Unless it's absolutely necessary to be seeing something on the corpse, then that specific part is revealed.
Meanwhile, in Gaza, Palestinians are trying to follow Islamic law as they struggle to bury the thousands of dead.
They say that about 1,500 bodies are still trapped under the rubble. This includes about 800 children. And fortunately, the machinery is not enough to deal with the massive destroyed houses, and the lack of fuel is now affecting them. Some of the bodies are there already more than 1 week. They are considered dead. Of course, they cannot remain there. They need to be buried in a dignified manner.
He says that according to Islam, bodies must be washed, wrapped in a white cloth, and mourners chant Islamic prayers over the bodies before burial. But because of the Israeli airstrikes, many bodies are not whole. Jameh says there is often no chance of individual graves.
In those cases, the bodies were put in one parcel and they are then buried together. In the fourth or fifth day of the attacks, there were tens of bodies that were at Shifa Hospital. There was no proper means to have funerals for everyone or to have a grave for everyone.
In both Judaism and Islam, there is a mourning period when friends and relatives come to offer condolences and reminisce about the person who has died. As the fighting continues, many on both sides continue to mourn. Linda Gradstein for VOA News, Tel Aviv.
And in Zimbabwe, President Emmerson Mnangagwa officially opened the new parliament that was built at a tune of $200 million as a donation by the Chinese government to the people of Zimbabwe. China has so far built or refurbished parliaments in 15 African nations, including Republic of Congo, Liberia, Mozambique, Seychelles, and Guinea-Bissau, as well as other government buildings such as Burundi's presidential palace and the African Union headquarters in Ethiopia. Meanwhile, CCC lawmakers today attended the official opening of after a 14-day disengagement stance following the recall of some of their lawmakers and councillors by Wana Sevenzo Chabangu. The party's deputy spokesperson, Ostalos Siziba, speaks about his party's decision to attend the official opening of parliament.
We've just received a communique from the party to communicate with fellow Zimbabweans and all stakeholders to the effect that you know that on the 11th of October, we announced our disengagement from parliament and local authorities to address particularly the issue of the illegal recalls that have been effected both by the Minister of Local Government and by the Speaker of Parliament. We set a number of issues that we felt must be resolved both by Parliament and local government. And to that effect, we made several steps. One of it is the legal route. We made sure that we take the issue to the court. And you know that there is an urgent matter that is going to be heard by the High Court of Zimbabwe on the 2nd of November to make sure that this issue has been resolved. Secondly, we also engaged here domestically with fellow citizens and different stakeholders, particularly the chain champions and drivers of the movement on the necessary political program of action to resolve the crisis that we're facing. And thirdly, is our engagement with parliamentary forums in the region and internationally, which we think are key, and we are members of those particular forums. And they're important to make sure that they help us to resolve part of the crisis in our country. And fourthly, of course, was our engagement at SADC region level, and you are aware of the extraordinary summit, and one of the issues that we've tabled there in terms of our writing and engagement with SADC is about the issue of the legal recourse and the broad crisis of legitimacy and governance questions in our country. So to that effect, you know that the 14 days expired on the 25th, which was yesterday, and we are taking this particular period to make sure that we review and engage with other key stakeholders on the next political program of action. We are very thankful to our chain champions, members of parliament and councillors, because there was total compliance on this political decision by our movement, by the citizens' movement. And of course, we salute and thank the citizens because they stood firm in support of their movement so that we corrected this crisis that we're facing. So we are very clear as a movement, very soon we are going to pronounce, particularly in respect of the fact that the issue is in the hands of the court, and we expect that the principles of natural justice are going to apply so that we restore sanity in parliament and in local authorities, so that those that have been given mandate by the people are able to be returned back. Because the Speaker of Parliament, as you are aware, acted on error on a fraudulent letter that he was not supposed to be receiving and particularly acting on. So because of those reasons, this issue has been in the hands of the court, and we expect that on the 2nd of November, we're also going to pronounce ourselves in respect of the decision and the judgment that is going to come.
And that there was CCC Deputy Spokesperson Ostalo Siziba in Harare. Several women and men from all over the country are benefiting from projects run by the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID. Under its resilience anchors, which supports non-timber forest products in the country, especially in the rural areas. A representative from the Women's Affairs Ministry, Tariro Chipepera, hailed the project, saying it was empowering a lot of women.
Convention yataka unganira pano yaka kosha zvikuru patiri kusangana kumuchitechita kuona kukosha kwakaita atinoti pachirungu non-timber forest products atinawo munyika yedu yeZimbabwe yakatekeshera. Ndingangotsanangura kuti non-timber forest products inyaya yemafruits edu atinawo akafanana nemauyu atinawo akafanana nemopani atinayo anonzi madora aya pachishona akafanana nemamwe ma plans ati nao anotipatsira pakura pa ma medicinal properties atinowana kubva ipapo tine zvakawanda senyika zvakachekeshera atinoti ma natural resources ati nao and aya akakosha patinoona kuti munyika yedu yeZimbabwe kazhinji zhinji madzimai kumaruwa kwatinogara ndovanowanzotora zvakafanana nemazhanje zvakafanana nemauyu zvakafanana nemadora zvakafanana ne even matowe vachinomatora muma forex matiri atinawo vachitora vachitengesa tikuona kuti maproducts iwaya ari kutorwa achigadziriswa kuda maoils anozorwa kumeso kuda mishonga inoshandiswa pakurapa zvirwere zvakasiyana siyana kuda even zvimwe zvinoshandiswa kana even pakugadzira chikafu chaicho chemombe kana chehuku vachishandisa iri foda inowanikwa kuma communities ikoko saisi tiri kuti madzimai edu ichokwadi vakawanda ndofunga 70% yavo vanobva kumaruwa vari kubatsirikana nemaproducts iwaya atiri kuti manantimber forest products ari kuwanikwa futi even macommunities edu achibhenefita so tiri kuti isusu patakaungana muzuva ranhasi tiri kutaura nyaya yekuti ngatiwanei munzira yokuita kuti tisapedzeredze manantimber forest products edu asi awanikwa achizobatsira even nefuture generation yedu inenge ichiteera pamberi.
That day was Tariro Chipepera from the Women's Ministry in Harare. Speaking at the same conference, a representative of Tawena Distillery, which makes liquors from indigenous fruits and plants, explains how they do this.
We do local and indigenous distillates. Our flagship product is called Kachasu. It's the clear distillate here. It's made from a local fruit called Masao, Indian jujuba or Indian plum, which you can see here. This is actually at the stage of fermenting. So then it becomes fruit wine from which it gets distilled to a clear alcohol. 40% ABV? Double distilled, I would dare to say. Using this as a base, we do two liqueurs. Resurrection Bush, which is this one here. Slightly reddish green in color. And then the green one, which is Zumbani. So Zumbani is this one, local indigenous plant. Rose in the wild, and then Resurrection Bush you can see here. These have sugar, as they are liqueurs. They're 30% alcohol, but slightly on the sweeter side. So more like your aperitif, or to be enjoyed with ice, for example, as a dessert, as a digestive. This one you can drink either neat, or you can drink it in cocktails. We could make gin and tonic, but we call it cachaço tonic because it's cachaço. You can do a Moscow mule. We call it Harare mule. We use ginger beer and lemon juice, or any other cocktails really. It works as a whiskey substitute even. You could do a whiskey sour. You could do an old-fashioned with it, depending on what kind of alcohol or what kind of cocktails do you like. The ingredients we are sourcing predominantly from Putano Foods, which is actually our neighbor stall there. That's where all the botanicals and the fruits are also coming from. So they're actually coming from eco-certified land. They're wild plants, but the land is eco-certified. So we're trying to be as sustainable as possible. And they're predominantly using female pickers to source the fruit.
Memory Tanje of Mambo Kazi Products says she was pleased with her collaboration with USAID.
It is 100% organic. It's no more gadzira nema products anobva kugokwe, ma oils anobva kugokwe. Atinoita empower madzimai to stand from them. So all these products are 100% organic. My products are 100% organic and not anything to be harmful to the body and to the skin. This is an old age secret. So they never had any problems with their skin and their well-being because they had these herbs. It's a herb for men. About 7 herbs that are sangaswa for aroma, for vitality and stamina, so that they will be able to perform to satisfaction. It's also a juice, knowing for stamina and vitality in men. Then this one is for women. You know, because of the cold temperature, it makes you enjoy. And I was like, I said, it's really natural. This thing can't get into me, you know, detox and whatever that they're having. It's really natural.
That there was Memory Tanje of Mambo Kazi Products in Harare. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see. we seek the truth, when we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Back to our main topic on women empowerment, where we are discussing about programs that women are doing to uplift themselves and to discuss about what we are joined by Chennai Mutambasere, a development economist based in England. And we also have Makachi Kowero, a founder of MTC Educator Girl Foundation here in the United States. Welcome to the program, Chennai.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yes, and we're excited to have you because you were recently in Zimbabwe, and some women out there are asking, are there any opportunities for women wanting to start a business? I think your audio is somehow off. I could hear you before, but I can't hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Carry on.
Okay. So what I was saying is that at the moment in Zimbabwe, we are encouraging women really to start where they are in terms of small businesses, to look out for opportunities, because we are seeing a dying formal sector. So in terms of really relying on the formal sector to pay you enough to look after yourself and your family, it's no longer going to be possible. So we really are looking to say, women, you know, go out there, see what you can find, what you can start for yourself as a business, no matter how small the income that you're going to get, particularly where you are able to charge for your wear in US dollars, because we are seeing, we are speculating that in the next few months there is going to be a huge crash in terms of the Zim dollar. Already, the Reserve Bank has already sort of pronounced that they are running out of foreign reserves. They've started to increase the retention on foreign currency from those that are exporting to 75%. So these are all indications that over the next few months, Zimbabwe is definitely headed for a crash. I would advise that, in terms of economy, this is what we would say at the moment, is to maintain a sort of a hold position. If you find something that you can do that can generate an income for yourself and your family, continue to do that thing, but do not overinvest, because, again, you know, expect to store your money in US dollar. Expect to store your money not so much in assets, because as the pinch gets stronger, people will have less and less disposable income. So really play by ear, buy small, sell big is what I would suggest, possibly for the next 3 to 6 months, because, you know, we are also heading up for Cyclone El Nino come February. We're already seeing a cholera outbreak, so incomes are going to be quite negatively impacted. So, you know, I would say store small stocks of whatever it is you can sell, and sell as much as you can.
Thank you so much, Ade. We now move over to young Makachi Kowero. If you can just tell us about your foundation. You literally founded a foundation when you were still in grade school. I know now you're at college. Please tell us about your foundation.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. MTC Educated Girl is a nonprofit made by girls for girls, to empower them through sports, education, and leadership, since I'm a student athlete myself and in college.
Yes, and
I want to make this.
I understand that you're working with young girls in the rural areas. Which areas are you working in, and what exactly are you doing?
Yes, so recently we've had a soccer tournament celebrating IBG in Mondolo, and now we're having another one in Chimanimani, this Saturday, which is celebrating International Day of the Girl Child.
Mm-hmm. And someone out there listening would be able to, who will be saying, how am I able to do this, what Maka did? What's your advice?
I would say start by getting involved in your community. There's leadership opportunities no matter where you look. And leadership has been a part of my life for so long. And I've learned so much from mentors and people who've come before me. Up until the point I decided to start my own organization, I realized I can do something amazing. And so I'm going to go into my community and do so.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I'll come back to you later. Coming back to you, Chennai, you were talking about, you know, buy low and then sell big. What kind of products can women actually, you know, be buying to resell?
Okay, so I would say, first of all, in terms of stocking up, definitely do maintain your reserves in terms of your basic commodities, because speculatively speaking, with the crash, we know what happens in Zimbabwe is that the first things that are to go into short supply are your basic commodities.
Mm-hmm.
So store as much of those as you can as you're going along. What I mean by that is it would be very risky, say, to maintain stocks that might take you more than 3 months to sell. Because when we are looking at, say, January and February time, we're looking at what the meteorologists are saying is that we are looking at a cyclone starting in February. And if that happens, it's likely that incomes are going to depreciate. People are going to have less and less disposable income. And that might make it more difficult to sell. So I would advise that whatever it is that you're buying and selling, maintain a stock that is not necessarily more than 3 months, because that might become more difficult to shift for you as we go into Christmas and beyond that. In terms of what you can buy and sell, you know, I mean, I'm quite inspired looking at your program earlier, where you were showcasing women that are actually making use of what is readily available, mm-hmm, in terms of natural herbs and natural concoctions to speak of that
yes,
they've used to create different drinks and stuff like that. And I think the more you can do to use the raw materials that are easily and readily available for you, the better. Because normally we have seen women, we've seen a huge drive where people will go and buy basic commodities and other such like in places like South Africa. But because at the moment we are looking at a global inflation, it is likely that prices across the border are going to increase as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, perhaps to spread the risk. And what I mean by that is you can actually sell as a group, come together with other people and put your capital together and invest together. At least that way, you're also spreading the risk across. Yes, it might mean and it might look like that you're going to also get a smaller return, but it is a much safer return. So I would encourage a lot of those kind of like small group cooperatives. Women are generally very good at coming together. And I would say that, you know, that is a risk shared and can guarantee you a better return than trying to do something by yourself, because we are going into, I think, one of the biggest economy crunches that Zimbabwe has seen, you know, and without kind of spelling it out, you know, at the moment, the indicators in terms of what is coming out of the Reserve Bank,
mm-hmm,
that there's already a foreign currency shortage before we even get to Christmas, before we even get to the season of cyclones. We've seen the doubling of prices in terms of data bundles. So even though they are giving us different inflation figures, we're well up above 100% now. We are well into the three-digit range. We are seeing increases in electricity charges. So all these things suggest that Zimbabwe is well and truly headed for an economic crunch of sorts. So those would be my critical suggestions, is try and spread the risk, try and buy together so that you're not putting your whole monetary asset at risk. Try and maintain stocks that will last you 3 months and not beyond that, because it might become more difficult to sell as we get into the January disease after Christmas and beyond. As well as if you've got the opportunity to buy your way, especially sort of abroad, you know, whether it's in Zambia or in South Africa, then I would say by all means try and do as much of that as you can, because even I think we're heading ANC heading into elections and so on and so forth, I think that is going to compound the inflation across the border as well. So those I think would be my top advice at this point.
And also the government has said, we've heard the president saying that they want to bring back the Zimbabwean dollar. How will this affect this scenario that you're painting in front of us?
Well, this is a critical, I think, surprise element, actually, coming from the president. And I think what we are seeing is the remnants of the excess money supply that happened just before elections, where I think we were printing quite a lot of Zimbabwe dollar, more than we could swallow up and more than we really needed. And I think at the moment, what they're trying to do is to reduce the liquidity of the Zimbabwe dollar by forcing people to use it. So what will happen every time that government interferes with the natural laws of economics is, number one, your investors will flight. And before they flee, they will increase their prices because they want to make as much as they can now. So that will continue to force inflation, obviously, higher and higher. We are also heading for a currency crisis. Because the moment we start to hear these murmurs from the corridors of power suggesting that we want people to use the Zim dollar, and our memories will remind us what happened last time where our foreign currency balances, and this has happened more than once in Zimbabwe, just suddenly get converted into Zim dollar without necessarily a lot of consultation. So that is going to mean that the banked economy again will decrease. And if less people trust the banks, then again, that means we are back to the long queues of trying to find money and so on and so forth. So all these, as I've said, are indicators that really are showing us that Zimbabwe is well and truly headed for an economic crunch.
Thank you so much. Back to you, Maka. You were talking about an event that you have coming up. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, in Chimani Mani, we are hosting our third annual International David Girl Child Celebration, where the girls will play some amazing soccer and get to talk empowerment circles, as well as having people in leadership spaces come to listen to them and hear their voices.
Mm-hmm. Also, if people want to kind of, you know what you're doing, where can they find you? Are you online? Where are you visible?
Absolutely. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the social medias. If you go to MTC Educated Girl and put that in Google, you'll see our website, and all of our social media will be linked there as well.
And I've seen that you have been featured quite a number of times in United Nations programs. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. I've been invited to an International Day of the Girl Child Celebration last year in October, and it was the highlight of my year. I got to meet many like-minded individuals and other girls who felt that our voices are important and need to be heard on a global stage, which was truly an honor. And then I go to the United Nations in March as well to celebrate the CSW, the Commission on the Status of Women. And so at those conferences, we talk about other issues that are similar to girl issues, but on a broad stage with global leaders there, as well as adults in the room, but we are also at the table with them, which is different than just having adults speaking on behalf of girls and young people, which is truly empowering. And it's the highlight of my year every single time I go.
Thank you so, so much. I'll come back to you, Chennai, for your last word as we round up.
So I would say, I think one of the things that happened in the election season was the Minister of Finance, I think he lifted up the tax and excise on basic commodities. And so I think whilst that remains and is still the case, I would say that it is time to stock up. Mm-hmm. Do get as much as you can.
Thank you so much. I'm going to have to cut you off right there. Thank you so much there. And that brings us to our end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Nhlanga Nyahuye.